Good morning. Welcome to Morning Tea and Allegations. This is your host, Petty B, otherwise Bianca Woolsby. And thank you guys for tuning in to Teaching for the Culture. I am so excited to be here this morning. And yeah, let's go ahead and get started with the church announcements. But hold on, let's go ahead and pause that because it appears that, you know, my text messages are going ham while I'm trying to record this episode. So let me go ahead and configure my settings so that I can turn my computer on Do Not Disturb. So that way you're not hearing all of my text messages. Okay. Boom. And then we got people calling Teaching for the Culture. I don't understand. Hold on, y'all. It's a lot going on this morning. So, let's go ahead and get started with the church announcements. Amen, amen, amen. So I just want to say happy birthday to my wife. Today is her birthday, okay? Her birthday gift, wife, if you're watching, your birthday gift is in your vehicle. I hope that you can find it with all of that stuff in your car. So she might not be watching this live. So if you want to be petty, reach out to my wife and see if she found her birthday gift. Okay. I will give you and her a hint. It is a black and white box with a gold bow. Okay. Election day, November 3rd. The last day to register to vote is on October the 5th. It is your duty and your responsibility to get registered to vote and to be intentional with who you select to represent you, especially in these local elections, okay? In October, Teaching for the Culture is hosting candidate forums for school board candidates, and I'm actually really, really excited about this. Due to some of the candidates that decided to decline participating, we have changed the format a bit, but I'm excited for the candidates that are willing to show up and share their vision for education. So let's go ahead, and I will be right back with my disclaimers and sponsors. Thank you, church members, as we have additional announcements and disclaimers that require your full attention. I report the news, so don't try me with the copyright. In addition, the views and opinions on Morning Tea and Allegations belong to me. If you have any questions, bring your receipts so that we can talk. If you get froggy with me, don't expect me to go high and be the bigger person. I will clap back and sage later. God is still working on me. Thank you for your attention and govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. This episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is the best way that you can securely go on the web without your information being tracked. Stay private with a VPN and go to the link www.biancagoolsby.com/VPN. It's a 30-day free trial, so there's nothing to lose. Okay, so today's episode is titled Return to Sender. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be focusing on Hillsboro today because there is a lot of tea and a lot of allegations going on, and this is just an hour show, okay? So we want to talk about the MERV 13 filters. Let's go ahead and get started. So on Tuesday, the MERV 13 air filters, they were approved, and I'm bringing this up because I want you guys to follow the money and the series of events that led up to the board meeting on Tuesday. Now, let's go ahead and roll the clip of what took place on Tuesday in regards to these filters.
And we're moving on to now 6.10 to approve the increase in expenditure for request for proposal for Mo HVAC air filters. And we'll turn it over to Mr. Superintendent.
Yes, because of the vice chair, this is a, you know, an expenditure to address, you know, placing MERV 13 air filters within our schools. This is a movement to be able to use millage funding to do so. And this is bringing to the board to a formal ask to update, you know, to upgrade the district filters from MERV 13. This is, we know that this is the recommended, filter for CDC guidelines to be able to continue to assist with, mitigating the spread of COVID-19. We do know that this is, you know, an increased expenditure, but it's going to create healthier systems within our schools. We know that we tried to, you know, originally our dead date was to, for install was going to be October 1st. We know that date has been extended. It's been, you know, we had, you know, availability of the air filters, and I provided each of you with a list geographically of what we're of being able to install. I think we're close to 30 schools that have been installed, and there's going to be a number of schools that will have to be retrofitted. But I just want to bring it to the board formally to bring it to light that we will be using this and to be able to address, you know, the growing needs in our classrooms.
Thank you, sir. I need a motion and a second to approve item 610. I have a motion by Member Gray and a second by Member Stewart. Any discussion? Okay. Seeing no discussion, please raise your hand to approve. And it is unanimous. Thank you so much, board members. Moving on.
Now, so again, we constantly have these agenda items where there's no conversation, just no conversation. Everyone's raising their hand, no questions, but I have some questions and I hope you do too. So I want you to follow along with me. So I want to go ahead and pull up the actual documentation that is listed on the Hillsborough School District's website in regards to this particular action item, agenda item that they voted on with no questions. So let me go ahead and share my screen with you so that you can see it. And I want you to see that this is, let me scroll up so you can see. Okay, so September 22nd, 4 o'clock. Okay, so we're going to go to the regular agenda and we're going to be looking at 6.10. Okay, so this is the expenditures and they have two items here. They have a cover sheet and they have supporting materials. So I want to click on the cover sheet. Now, let me go ahead and stop sharing here and share this. Okay, so this is the cover sheet. Okay, so it said on February 20th, 2018, the board approved, you know, the installation of air filters. So this is a previous contract that the district had in place in 2018 when Jeff Akins was in office. I wanted to go down and it identifies here that at this time, the district is upgrading all district filters' ability to capture particles. The MERV 13 filters provide a greater reduction and all of that, etc. As a result, this upgrade, future expenditures have exceeded the original amount estimated, requiring the board's approval. Well, okay, I have questions on that because, you know, follow me here, okay? So keep going down. And we look at the financial impact. So the financial impact, you see here, okay, you see the amount. I want you to pay close attention to this amount and how this would be available in millage funds. And they are increasing the expenditures with BFC solutions, okay? All of this is very, very important. So I hope that you're taking notes and you're being intentional because this is one heck of a show because there's a lot of questions with that. Okay. So then I'm like, all right, well, you know, let's look at the supporting, you know, documentation to see, you know, what the board or what the district uploaded on their website in regards to these filters. So I look at the supporting documentation, which I was under the assumption and impression that, you know, it would actually be the contract with this organization to see how much the filters cost. But actually, the supporting documentation was the agreement that was back in 2018 that has Jeff's name on it. And it talks about, you know, how much the filters cost. But this was back in 2018. There's new schools that the district has added. So, you know, there's more filters. So is it the same price? There's a lot of questions here. So again, I say that you be intentional with this information that I'm giving you because it just doesn't make sense. I was under the impression that if we're talking about the MERV 13 filters, I would see action items. I would see itemized, you know, contract of what the MERV 13 filters would cost. So, okay. So I show you all of that to say this. I'm really unclear on how the money is allocated, especially with all of these different prices that have been given to the public. We'll get to that in a second. But let's back up to the virtual town hall in July. Now, in July, the district decided to have a virtual town hall where they moderated the comments. They picked and choose the questions that they were answering to the public. And so I just want to play the clip in July where we were talking about these MERV 13 filters, but they just got it approved on Tuesday.
All right, next question. What steps are being taken to ensure that HVAC systems are not spreading contaminated air through school buildings? At this time, I'm going to go to the Chief of Operations, Mr. Chris Farkas.
Thank you, Superintendent, for the opportunity. I want to ensure and usher all the public that we do have particle filters in every single one of our air conditioning systems. The MERV rating you'll hear, the MERV is the minimum efficiency reporting value. The MERV goes all the way from 1 up to 20 and 23. We currently have MERV 7 and 8 filters at least in every single one of our air conditioning systems, but we are looking at increasing that. The reality is that we have those change on a quarterly basis. We're looking at both MERV 13 filters, UVC light, and ionization to try to improve this. We always feel like we can get better, and we'll continue to do so. But right now, I want to assure the public that we do have MERV filters in every single one of our air conditioning systems that help take those particles out of the air. But we do believe there's an opportunity to get better, and we'll continue to look at that. We had a meeting with the Hillsborough County government to look and see what they're doing, to see how we can partner in shelters and other areas to make sure that we can do whatever we can to keep our kids safe.
Thank you, sir. And then we'll have a an aggressive implementation plan for changing filters along the way. So that will be a part of our professional learning over the coming weeks with our staff to make certain they understand timeline to be able to have more greater frequent checks to make certain the filters are continually changed to protect every one of our students and our adults along the way.
So I'm glad that you brought that up about, changing the filters, Addison Davis, because it just so interesting that I actually received a picture yesterday from Plant High School. So let's go ahead and pull this up, shall we? So this picture was submitted to me by a surveillance camera that showed the filters that is sitting in the breezeway at Plant with filters. So, of course, I zoomed up to see what type of filters those are. And I'm here to tell you that they are the Extreme Plus. So I want to go ahead and share my screen so you can see the actual product that is at Plant right now. So these filters are the MERV 8. They are not the MERV 13s at this school. And it goes down and it talks about, all of their, technical stuff with this product, but this is what I was able to find in that this is a MERV 8 that's at that school. Now, I didn't see this company having any MERV 13, so I'm not really sure about this particular filter or what's happening at Plant, but it was just so interesting that I received a picture from Plant, with air filters that's on top of the vending machines. Okay. But then it gets even better than that. Speaking of Plant, I do have a concern and it was brought to me and hopefully you guys start asking questions. Okay. So it was brought to my attention that the superintendent bought a home in Apollo Beach. Now, how his daughter is attending Plant High School on a choice hardship is beyond me. My next question is, how is she eligible to play a sport at Plant, a school that she's not even zoned for? And I'm just trying to figure out what the hardship is. There's many district employees that can't even get their kids together at the same school. And I'm just asking questions. I want to know how a child that lives in Apollo Beach is able to go and play sports at Plant High School when they don't live in the area. Okay. Y'all start asking some questions because I don't know. Moving on August 5th, around 7 weeks ago, Superintendent Addison Davis had a message to the community and it was posted on Hillsborough County's Facebook page. So let's go ahead and roll the clip of what happened on August 5th.
Today's another step that shows that Hillsborough County Public Schools has taken, the right steps in order to further protect our students and our employees when we return to school. And, we're going to put MERV 13 air filters in every one of our classrooms, in every one of our common areas, in every one of our district offices, in order to have a better filtration system. As you know, CDC guideline and ESHRA, you know, they continue to talk about MERV 13s and how they are another proactive solution to be able to capture particles within the air and also be able to bring outside air within closed confined areas with our classrooms. So this is another step. We know that MERV 13s, they capture 90% of the particles that are with microns between 1 and 3, and also 50% of the particles that have microns between 0.3 and also with 1. So this is just another step to show that we have a system of care for every one of our stakeholders.
Okay, so these are the two filters. This is the existing filters that are in the district currently in the HVAC systems. This is the proposed filter. And the first thing you would notice is that at first glance, it doesn't look to be a lot different. The primary difference is the media that is in the filter right here. So it's a little bit thicker. It's got a different material that's designed to filter out different size particles. So as you go up in MERV rating, MERV rating, you filter out more particles. So MERV 13 is very near the top end. As you put these in, you're filtering out much more of the particles in the air.
Ever since the CDC came out and they said that MERV 13 is the way to go, whether it's in your home, whether it's in buildings, whether it's in the educational system and schools, they've been significantly hard to get. No different than PPE. So, you know, we were able to connect with a vendor in order to get them. We receive them within our school district, and we know that it's a national shortage. So we will have the first wave completed starting on August 24th, and then we will continue to be able to have full completion by October 1st within every one of our classrooms that have an air filter in every one of our facilities.
Okay, so obviously October 1st is right around the corner. I've played the clip from Tuesday where Addison Davis said that it was about 30 schools that it was completed. That's less than 15% of the schools. So I just have a lot of questions. Now, with this, you know, press conference and all of that, you know, he was saying how we, you know, was able to purchase the MERV 13. And I'm just trying to figure out, you went to the board for additional funding to purchase the MERV 13 filters. So the question is, like, just follow the money, folks. Like, that's all I could really say is follow the money, because I'm just presenting what's on the internet and presenting it to you, so that y'all can go ask these questions, okay? I'll ask them with you, but I'm just here to provide you the receipts, because, you know, he made it seem as though that they've purchased these MERV filters, but then he went to the board on Tuesday to ask for additional funding. And the additional funding doesn't even match what he's told the media on how much this costs. So let's get there, okay? Now, Addison Davis had a press conference immediately after that video went on the Facebook page. Okay. And so I'm going to play a clip of that, but I also want to note that the gentleman in this video, is the regional vice president of energy and technical services with McKinstry. This is important to note later. Now I want to go ahead and I want to roll the clip of the press conference.
We know that the MERV 13s are identified by the CDC to be another preventative measure in order to protect our children and our employees once we decide to come back to school. So this is another way that we can continue to show that we are actively taking the necessary steps in order to create the best overall environment. So tomorrow decision, yes, sir, the tomorrow decision will be made to determine whether or not we go to brick and mortar or we return to remote learning. You know, but for us, we can't sit on the sidelines. We have to continue to take proactive steps. And this is another proactive step that Hillsborough County continues to take. We have great partnerships outside to be able to look at every one of our mechanical instructional systems to make sure that we are ready and prepared. Regardless if we come back tomorrow, 4 weeks from now, 9 weeks from now, you know, we will be prepared in order to embrace our learners and at the same time protect every one of our employees. Yeah, we have over 250 schools. So right now we spend close to $800,000 related to filters, and we change those out, you know, right before a quarterly effort. And, you know, there is going to be an additional cost to this. You know, we will probably spend another close to $500,000 that we will spend. But at the end of the day, you never put a price on safety.
Where that might be.
How many people across the country use these types of filters? How many school districts? Do you have any idea,
Dan? Well, there's a lot more trying to get them right now. MERV 13 is probably one step above like a standard filter that most school districts would be deploying. I think Hillsboro has been pretty progressive at being able to get and acquire those and put them in for the district. So I would be hard for me to estimate how many are trying to do that, but I know that there is a pretty massive shortage right now of them. So being able to get them for the school is pretty
So would you be a part of what the superintendent was just talking about, retrofitting some of those AC units that right now just can't take one of those filters? Are you a part of that?
Yeah, we're supporting the district and across this whole effort with returning.
How many are there then?
How many?
Do you have any idea how many are going to have to be like retrofitted and so they can have those?
So we're going through that process right now. As you can see with this filter, if you're familiar with like your home unit, this slides in. Maybe some of you aren't. It either attaches in or slides in where the return air comes into the unit.
I'm not sure if this would be a question for you or the superintendent, but you talked about that cost being about $500,000 more than the typical filters. What about this retrofitting? Does that $500,000 include those different retrofitting?
Yeah, it's sorry.
You can step to the mic, sir.
Okay, thank you, Mike. You did a really, really nice job. Yeah, it's inclusive of it. So we understand that we want to get it right. And we just don't want, as I said earlier, we just don't want to throw filters that do not fit. We want to make certain that we do the analysis on every one of our filters with 12, and I'm going to go back, it's 12,000 classrooms. And so those 12,000 classrooms, not every classroom has a filter. But for those that do, we want to make certain that we get it right and get the right size MERV 13 filter so that we can make sure it's compatible and interactive along the way.
Okay. So in this clip, he clearly states that this increase would be, you know, $500,000. And, you know, if you went back to what he requested from the board, it wasn't that amount, nowhere near that amount, in fact. And so then it stated that this is inclusive to retrofitting, so all the work that needs to be done. Now, I want to take you to the Bay News 9 article where they actually have something different. This is a shame. Okay. So Bay News 9, this article here was published on August 5th, the same day. Okay. And then we're going to scroll down where it talks about the upgrades don't come cheap. A spokesperson said the district will spend an additional $690,000 for the MERV 13 filter. Can someone please identify what is the issue with that? So already from one press conference to another press conference the same day, we are looking at almost a $200,000 difference. $190,000 to be exact. But the fact is, how much do these MERV filters cost? Because I'm seeing what you requested to the board is one amount, okay? And then what you've told, you know, the media, ABC Action News, you told them that it was $500,000 for the MERV filters. Bay News 9 has on record that is $690,000 for the MERV filters. So the question of the hour is, how much are these MERV filters? Okay. It gets even better. So I had an odd feeling about this guy who was out here talking about these filters, because this little filter is not going to mitigate any damages with COVID-19. First of all, can we talk about the many schools in Hillsborough County that do not have working AC right now today? You have kids in classrooms right now today on a Friday that do not have working AC. But yet we're out here talking about if we put another filter, you know, we're making proactive steps. No, a proactive step will be making sure that all the AC units work. How about that? Okay, so I had an odd feeling about this gentleman, and he was quoted in the article. So, you know, I did my research. So I want to see the contract with McKinstry because it's nowhere listed in any board documentation. And this is the reason why I asked, because I Googled Mike and I saw a press release back in 2019 about his movement in this company in Texas. So I started to do more digging and I found his LinkedIn and I want to show it to you. So this is Mike. He was there at the press conference with Addison Davis and his company where he's at. He's the vice president of his company and he works in Dallas, Texas. So I'm trying to figure out, well, what would be your connection to Hillsborough County, Tampa, Florida, when you live in Texas? So I went to the company's website and I was like, okay, well, maybe they have a location or a satellite or something where it's near Tampa, Florida, where it's near Hillsborough County so that they can continue this partnership. Because if you go back to the clip, he made it very, very clear that he and his organization, his company, was going to be assisting with the retrofitting and would be assisting with executing this job. So I want to know, like, well, what's the contract? What is it going to cost this company to do it? Because this company is not listed under the board agenda, nowhere near that. But then also I wanted to know, okay, well, how will you be a part of the retrofitting process if, sir, you work in you work in Texas? So I pulled up the website and I'm going to show you here. So this is their website. I will post the links and the receipts and all of this in the comments. But I want you to see their locations. Folks, they do not even have an office in Florida. So y'all start asking questions because like I said, you know, this guy came out to the press conference. He said that he was assisting the district. This company was not listed in any type of documentation that was approved by the board on Tuesday. Then I look on the company's website and there's nothing near the state of Florida, near Tampa, Florida. So I'm not sure how this company would be assisting with the MERV 13 transfer. On top of that, you know, how much will it cost for this company to assist? So these are questions that I need you to ask. Now, then I was like, but wait, the company that is listed in the board documentation is BFC Solutions. So I went to BFC Solutions website. Okay. Let's pull that up. So BFC Solution. Okay. And their organization is located in Nashville, Tennessee. So we're here. All right. We're going to make a phone call.
BSC Solutions. Sorry we missed you. Please leave your name, phone number, and a detailed message, and someone will get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you for calling.
Please leave your message after the tone. When done, hang up or press the pound key.
Hello, my name is Bianca Goolsby with Teaching for the Culture, and I was giving you a call. I wanted to know if you had any MERV 13 filters in stock to send out to different campuses. If you could please give me a call at your earliest convenience, I greatly appreciate it. My telephone number is 813-400-3311. Again, that's area code 813-400-3311. So, as you can see, I called the company and they're not answering and I had to leave a voicemail. So when they call me back, if they call me back, I will definitely update you and let you know because I have some questions. Now, let's move on. All these numbers are different. The numbers are different and they're changing. And this is why I need y'all to be intentional. So here are some questions that I have that I hope that you ask as well. Number one, what is the actual cost of the MERV 13 filters with receipts and proof of purchase? Next, does the contract, does the district have a contract with McKinstry? And did they follow the procurement policy? Next, when is the expected date of completion? Since October 1st is around the corner and we have less than 15% of the schools that have this filter. Okay. Now, with all of these questions that I've discussed and the research that I've done, that didn't take long to do, by the way, the board members had no questions, zero, zilch, nada. So y'all approve this. And y'all are, you know, having press conferences, but this, I have so many questions. Okay. So the next topic that I want to talk about is the chemicals that are on your property. Okay. It's a really big deal because I got a message from a parent and I want to put it up on the screen. So this was on Tuesday after I went to the board to talk about their foaming hand sanitizer and the wipes. And this parent told me that, you know, their daughter was having issues, could hardly make it through class. This parent reached out to the district to ask for the MSDS and received nothing and was thankful that I was able to get it from the district. The doctor couldn't confirm or deny, but the doctor said to keep her away from their products. This is from a parent in Hillsborough County. And there's more. So this is why this is really, really important, because this is serious. So this entire time, the district has played games. And I just find it so interesting that the SDS from Fuller Industries changed again to say explicitly that they do not have reproductive risk. But my question remains, what testing was done to substantiate that? But let's even back up. It doesn't even matter what Fuller says now. Why? Because it matters what the SDS said at the time of purchase. When the district purchased these supplies, the SDS showed that it had reproductive risk. And you didn't advise your employees of that. In fact, you tried to cover it up. This hand sanitizer needs to be recalled. It does. And it needs to be recalled for the health and safety of the children and staff members. And I'm waiting on a few more pictures from the surveillance cameras. You know, some of the hand sanitizer, when it's not in use, it's starting to turn black and it looks like dirty water and it smells really, really bad. So the fact that the district has intentionally tried to cover this up, that they have tried to lie, and they even tried to get, you know, a student reporter to remove their story and say that she didn't have all her information. But then when she was trying to get the information that they claimed that she didn't have, they didn't have the information either. Well, I'm so glad that Kaylee is a fighter and her article was back up. So please make sure that you support her and you check her out. Now, with all this being said, my question is for Kim Bays. Kim Bays, you're new to Hillsborough County. Welcome. So let's go ahead and put up your email again that you sent out to staff. So in your email, you said that, you know, it was brought to, you know, your attention that there might be some confusion about the safety of the gallon jugs of hand sanitizer. And so you want to go ahead and clear the record. Okay. And then you have Thomas McBridge, who is the district safety office over there, that wants to say that this was approved under the following conditions: that it must be stored in an air conditioned environment, and it must be stored away from any spark source or flame because it's flammable. Now, with the air condition, just a couple of questions here, because I'm pretty sure y'all didn't even think this far. So, okay, for the campuses that do not have working AC, will you need to dispose of the foam and hand sanitizer based on your words? Okay. What about when you shut off the AC at night to save electricity? What when you shut off the AC during the weekend? Well, it's not stored in an air conditioned environment at that point because the AC is off. So, again, y'all keep doing this stuff, and I don't really think that y'all be thinking logically when y'all put this stuff in writing, because it doesn't make sense. So if you have this hand sanitizer in the warehouse and you have all of this stored and y'all been preparing for this for months, is the warehouse in an air-conditioned environment? I have so many questions, and this is why I'm telling you that this district needs to stop playing games. You know, Kim, you're new to this district. Addison Davis brought you aboard. And I'm telling you, your name has just been thrown up so many times because it seems that Addison Davis is using you to do his dirty work. For example, you know, when the cuts happened with the principals and they had to have a conversation, you know, last week, I think it was last week. Okay. And they were talking about cuts. Okay. Well, Kim, didn't they have to go through you for approval? Listen, all I'm going to say is, people lie, receipts don't. You need to go get your receipts. And again, this hand sanitizer has a foul odor. It has a chemical reaction to the wax that is turning the floor dull and black. And it clearly lists toxic ingredients. At the end of the day, this hand sanitizer needs to be recalled, and the district needs to be held accountable for what they've purchased. Now, y'all want to go back and forth and say that this hand sanitizer is approved and this, that, and the third. Well, did you know that they just made the gallon size of the hand sanitizer in April? Okay, people lie, receipts don't. So here's the receipt right from Fuller Industries Facebook page, where literally April 2nd, they made a post that said coming soon. And coming soon was two new sizes of their hand sanitizer. So they added the 1 gallon size and the 8 ounce containers. These are brand new. They just came out with this product. And I also want to show you that this Facebook page was created June 12, 2018. Now, that doesn't mean that the company hasn't been around for a long time. I don't know. I didn't go back to check any business records or anything like that. But what I will say is that this gallon hand sanitizer is new. It is new to the market. So, you know, at the end of the day, when there's a new product, there are risks involved. Well, the risks involve, you know, things happening and chemical reactions and toxic products. This needs to be recalled immediately. It does. It does not need to be in your school. We're talking about chemicals, folks. We're talking about chemicals that is impacting your children, impacting the staff members. And I just don't understand why people just sit here and think this.
You really think someone would do that? Just go on the internet and tell lies?
I don't think people understand. Like, my intention is not to be on the internet and just be lying about what's happening. I'm literally giving you the receipts. I'm literally giving you the evidence to back up everything that I'm saying. And I'm asking questions for clarity. Why is this product still in this facility? And why are you trying to cover it up? And then on top of that, this SDS has changed 3 times that I'm aware of. 3. From the span of August to September. 3 times. So at the end of the day, it doesn't even matter how many times the SDS change. It matters about the time of purchase. And when you purchase the product, Hillsborough County Public Schools, it said that it has reproductive risk. So to try to backpedal and to make these narratives that don't exist, please stop, because you're only hurting people. Also with that, you know, Addison Davis told me that an infectious disease expert signed off on this. I have questions. Can I get the receipts? Can I get someone that is an infectious disease expert to validate this and say, yes, this is approved to be in schools. This is safe for children to use. The product says keep out the reach of children. It's flammable. So there's a lot of stuff going on. This is a new product that just came out to the market. They just posted about this in April. So this is not like this is an established hand sanitizer solution that has been around for years and tested and all of that. So again, we are playing games and we're talking about the scarcity of PPE. Well, it seems to me that you are just trying to purchase, you know, supplies from anywhere. But I'm just saying, like, we really need some eyes in this district, because the money is something wrong with this money. I'm trying to figure out about these MERV filters. I want to know how much the district spent on the hand sanitizer that's toxic and that has a foul odor and has a chemical reaction to the floor. And y'all, it's not safe. So please ask questions. Now, my issue with the wipes, it did not comply with CDC guidelines with the amount of alcohol that needed to be in the product. So the product that I was inquiring about only had 15% alcohol. The CDC guidelines have a way higher amount for what the amount of alcohol needs to be to disinfect. So I go back to the video clips where Chris Farkas is saying that we're prepared and, you know, we purchased everything that we need to do, but looking at these receipts, Chris Farkas, you're a liar. I'm still trying to figure out and get clarity on invoice 2029. Let me show you guys again, because again, I still have questions. Do you know that, just a side note, when I talk to the board, I never get the feedback or response that they say in the beginning when they read that speech. The fact that they have not even talked about this is beyond me. And I'm still waiting on Addison Davis to email me back about my request to visit the warehouse. So this receipt right here from Buyers Point, and they were purchasing alcohol wipes. I just want you to look at the quantity and the rate, please, because it doesn't make sense. It's something that's odd about this, and this is not okay. Follow the money, folks. I keep telling you, follow the money, because this doesn't add up. We're not charging sales tax either. Really? So all I'm saying is I'm waiting on answers here about these invoices. And I need the district to be accountable, transparent, and operate in integrity. I want to know, Addison Davis, did the infectious disease expert approve these wipes that was exported from China? Or imported from China, sorry. And I'm holding you accountable to the words that you say. Farkas, I want to see how prepared you are. I do. I want to see how prepared you are, because, you know, you're saying how you have been prepared and you have been doing everything you can. And I'm telling you, so let's run this back with the cleaning supplies and what Chris Farkas had to say.
Next question. How does the district plan to ensure the availability of cleaning, sanitizing products when there is a national shortage? So I'm going to let Mr. Farkas start this question out, and then I'm going to transition to Mr. Culpepper, who's our safety, leads our safety within our schools, just to talk about some of the proactive steps we're taking to make certain that we are cleaning our schools along on a daily basis.
Thank you, Superintendent. The reality is, for the last 4 months, we've been planning for this. We have purchased a reserve, so we have those, but it's still a concern for us. What we've done is we've gone to multiple vendors through our purchasing department and business division that have been very helpful in trying to find everything, because the question is correct. It is a fear of ours, making sure that we have enough masks, make sure we have enough wipes. We have all the things that we need to make sure that our teachers and students are as safe as possible. What we have now is a surplus that we have in reserve, and we'll order on a weekly basis to ensure that schools have those. But we're not just going to order from one vendor. We're going to order from multiple vendors that have those awards, so we can ensure there's not a shortage. And in worst case scenario, we dip into our reserves that are enough to cover schools for a couple of weeks that are on there too. But the reality is, We already have those in place. We have the purchasing agreements in place, and we look forward to trying to make sure that we have every single item for cleaning, sanitizing, and products that are there. When I turned over to Mr. Culpepper, his is actually on the spray and the fog that goes with the cleaning after there is a positive case, and he can talk a little bit about how we've prepared for that.
Thank you, Mr. Farkas. Thank you, Superintendent. Yes, sir. First off, I want to start out by one of the most important things we wanted to do. We wanted to change from where we started out when we received our first school notification that there was a school that we had a student or a teacher there that had symptoms or COVID. We went through a whole process of one, finding a product that we can use that has zero health risk towards our students, and also will provide a health, clean, safe environment for when students and faculty were return back. And we took a lot of time in looking in that product, and we found a product that is approved by the EPA as well as registered by the EPA. The other big plus to that was we was able to find a local distributor here who has already provided us with a surplus of the product here. And we set a set point that if we reach this set point well below of us being at zero, then weekly those products are brought in. There was also a huge run on this product for some of the professional football leagues, some of the professional basketball leagues, but we was able to make sure that we had all this stuff in place in order to ensure the safety and well-being of our faculty, students, and staff. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, Mr. Farkas. Also, Mr. Culpepper, and I want to tell you, you know, we've grown tremendously related to making certain we have the necessary equipment that we've ordered, but also the necessary equipment within our schools to triage and have a rapid response team within our schools if we're ever faced with an undesired behavior. And hats off to you, Mr. Culpepper, for going out there and working with your staff to find the right technology, the right chemicals to be able to continue to protect our schools every single day.
So, you know, Chris Farkas, you say that, you know, y'all have been preparing. I was very clear with my public records request when I was asking receipts on the proof of purchase on some of the items that, you know, your department purchased. And so one of the items was the wipes that I was just talking about. The invoice that I received, the most recent invoice that I received was June 10th. I didn't receive any invoices for the months prior that you were allegedly preparing for this. The first invoice that I received, the date was June 10th. So I want to know about the other months prior to June 10th that you allegedly have been preparing for this, because your statement was at this July 20th. So that means that you were preparing before July 20th. So why is the first invoice I'm receiving on June 10th. So a lot of questions there. And there's even a parent in the comments that say, my daughter's teacher has been asking for wipes. My question is exactly, I thought they were prepared. Well, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, where are the supplies, which is why I asked if I can get a tour of the warehouse to see how they've been adequately preparing for PPE, because in the pallets and conversations that I've had with educators and all of the conversations that I've had, they have been asking for PPE. In fact, they've been asking for quality PPE because the wipes, they're dry and they smell. And then you have the hand sanitizer that smells like crap. And it's a lot of things going on here. So I'm just telling you that y'all need to be very, very important. Thank you, Gail, for the 50 stars. I forgot to tell y'all about the stars. Okay, so Facebook has allowed me to have stars on the platform. I never really advertised it or said anything about it. I just had it set up because of the amount of viewership that I have. So there is an option for you to donate stars to the stream while I'm live, and it helps out with, you know, everything that I'm doing. So I greatly appreciate that. Thank you, Gail. I greatly appreciate the 50 stars. So parents, this is what I'm going to end you with in today's episode. I really need you to check the cell phone. I need you to be intentional. I need you to really understand that y'all need to ask questions. Parents, you are the ultimate stakeholders in this district. The fact that Steve Kona was so rude. Listen, there was more people that talked about a reopening plan than about budget cuts and saving the arts. and he decided to give everyone 1 minute. I don't know if y'all understand how difficult it is to get your point across in 60 seconds, but it is very difficult. And you can definitely see the board members unimpressed, not making eye contact, not being intentional with what the students and what the teachers and what advocates had to say. Steve Kona would cut the people off when they were talking. They would go, thank you. Was very short. And I was glad that, you know, Steve Kona got that opportunity to run that meeting, because now people see it. Now people see it and people are like, oh my gosh, we don't need him in office. We need to vote for someone else. Who should we vote for? And I'm like, well, his opponent is Nadia Combs. So if you don't want him, well, then pick her. She's first on the ballot. So parents, you are the ultimate stakeholders here. Please be intentional. And it's clear that some of the board members don't care, but they wanted to hear what parents had to say about the reopening plan, especially the parents that aligned with their agenda with reopening schools. And the whole push for reopening schools really had to do with money and identity politics at the end of the day. So that's where we're at with that. Now, I'm going to end you with this. There is new research that came out. And research came out about the psychological effects of not receiving positive feedback online for children. So let me go ahead and share this research with you. Okay. So this comes from the Society for Research and Child Development, and there was a new study that was published in September of this year from several researchers from different universities that was looking at the effects of how social media inflicts trauma on our children. And children that are victimized, children that are bullied, they have more emotional responses to getting fewer likes than other people. And the reason why I bring this up is because children are attributing likes to flaws in their character. And I'm telling you, parents, it is vital in this time that you do not allow an algorithm to destroy your child's mindset, their beliefs, their views, and their, you know, opinions about themselves. We are allowing children to get so caught up into social media that they are holding on to these analytics. They are holding on to these algorithms, and they are literally justifying themselves based on how many likes they have. Do you know that there's kids that will delete a photo if they don't receive a certain amount of likes? Like, this is a real thing. And I need people to really understand that this is destroying the brain. Speaking of which, last episode, I had a homework assignment. The homework assignment was to watch the Social Dilemma on Netflix. Did anyone watch it? Please put in the comments, you know, your feeling, your opinion about watching it. And if you haven't watched it, get on it. Get on Netflix and watch it, because it is something that is very, very, very important that you understand that this is a setup and it's a lot going on with that. So I'm just telling you, please be intentional. Please be intentional. So that's the study. I will post the link so that you can research it yourself. So that way you can have a conversation with your children about this, because I'm telling you, if a child is bullied at school, which happens all the time, by the way, you know, they're more likely to feel that impact of not receiving likes and feel as though that they're inadequate. So the question on the floor is it okay for teens to watch with us? Absolutely. It is safe for kids to watch this as well. So please be intentional. So some comments on here said Kona was rude. Completely agree. Yeah. I mean, even cut Lynn Gray off. Lynn Gray was asking if, you know, we could extend to a minute and 30 seconds. I think that that is even a reasonable compromise. But in the reopening plan, we had so many speakers and they still received 2 minutes. Miami-Dade, you know, they had 18 hours of public comments because they wanted to give their constituents a voice. See, the thing that I don't understand about Hillsborough County board members right now is that they act as though they don't serve the public, that their duty is not to serve you. Parents, you have a choice. November 3rd, please be intentional with who you vote for, and be intentional with that, because I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff going on, and your education is important. Your child's education is important, and it really contributes to the society as a whole. We are seeing day by day public education is being dismantled. We're having basically a civil war that's about to start brewing, and you know, walls can get more justice than a Black woman. You know, it's just a lot going on in this world. So please be intentional with that. The comment on the floor is, did I find out what business Snively had? No, I didn't. You know, I was looking for sis and I didn't see her. And while we here, Melissa Snively, can you please unblock me on social media? While we talking about people blocking on social media, Tamara Schamberger, can you please unblock me from social media? I don't understand why these people who are elected in office want to block people off social media because they don't like online criticism. And the fact of the matter is that y'all are using y'all personal Facebook page to provide updates about school board stuff. If you don't want to use your personal Facebook page and you want to censor your personal Facebook page, then don't mix your business with your personal Facebook page. If you have a strict business Facebook page and then that's just that, then okay, I'm not going to say anything. But the problem is that you're using your personal Facebook page to provide updates to the community about your duties and your job responsibilities as a school board member. The public should need to see that. So don't block people off of Facebook because you have a personal issue. Unblock them. I don't have to be friends with y'all on social media, but I should have access to see. I shouldn't have to be receiving screenshots from folks of what y'all saying in comments because I can't read your comments because you blocked me. It's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous, but that's okay because at the end of the day, look at Gail with the stars. At the end of the day, I'm telling y'all, there's going to be some changes that happen real soon, especially in District 5. So ain't even worried about that. Now, Pinellas County School Board candidate. Yeah. Stephanie Meyer blocked me too. Now, the thing with Stephanie, there was a post about 1619. I took a, you know, someone had the screenshot circulating on social media. I took that screenshot. I posted it on my page and I asked her about if she knew about African-American studies, you know, law, the statute that we should be teaching about Black history. And we're not teaching about Black history. We're not doing what we're supposed to do, right? So at the end of the day, y'all need to stop blocking people for asking questions. Y'all out here asking people to vote for you. You're asking for people to vote for you. So with that being said, you shouldn't block people because they don't agree with you. Or you shouldn't block people because they're having tough conversations. If they're not being disrespectful, if they're not calling you out your name, then again, stop it. Stop playing these games. At the end of the day, people lie, receipts don't, go get your receipts. And as always, folks, if you have any receipts about me, let's bring it forward. If not, then please keep my name out your mouth. Also ask your child if the school provided them a bottle of water to keep them hydrated because the school shut down the water fountains and the water fountains have water contaminated with lead. With that, y'all have a blessed day. Have a great weekend and love y'all. Bye.
Please keep my name about your mouth.